we need to understand chapter 5 to chapter 8 by going into the Bible doctrines to understand three simple words. Number one, there are three Greek words that we must understand, taken from the New Testament. Number one is the Greek word agathos, which means good. Good. A-G-A-T-H-O-S, agathos. The second Greek word is the word righteousness, which those of you who know Greek would know that it comes from the word dikaios. Now I'm using only one of the major endings. Dikaios. D-I-K-A-I-O-S. Dikaios. Which means righteousness, right standing with God. The third Greek word we need to understand is the word hagios. Hagios. Romanized as H-A-G-I-O-S. Although in the Greek there's no H. It's only the rough breathing. Hagios. And many people cannot differentiate between righteousness and holiness. Here's where we need to look carefully at what God's word say and what it means. Agathos, dikaios, and hagios. Say agathos, dikaios, hagios. Right. Say adios. Alright, no. Okay. So, yeah, agathos, dikaios, and hagios. Agathos means good. There is a difference between being good, being righteous, and being holy. It is interesting that in the Bible, in the New Testament, and even in the Old, that the word holy and righteous are two different words. But in English usage, especially religious usage, we use it interchangeably like a synonym. But it's not. There are actually three steps into the Holy of Holies, the depths of God. Being good talks about the heart. Having a good heart. Now, there are people who generally have a good heart even when they have not come to know the Lord. You will say, hey, they are very good people. I mean, they are good people. Holang. Also got Pailang. Right? There are good people and there are bad people out there. Even those who don't know the Lord, they are really honestly good people. I mean, I remember before I came to know the Lord Jesus, I was an honest person, basically, because of my upbringing. My father works in the police department in Johor Bahru. And he was a chief clerk in the headquarters. And so, I turn up good. I mean, you better be good. And I was basically honest and good and God-fearing, even though I didn't quite believe in God. And I realized that there are a lot of good people out there. That's the first level. Having a good heart. You say, is having a good heart important? Yes, definitely. It is a start. Because there are people who have evil heart, who have malice. Somehow through life, they have learned evil or adapted to evil or something and their intentions are evil. And you know that even in the church, how many times have people said, you know, they did the wrong thing, but they have a good heart. Then they apologize. Sorry, I didn't know all these things were wrong. But they never meant it. Sometimes they take the dagger, hit you, hurt you. They say, sorry, I didn't mean it. No? The thing about it is, sometimes they don't mean it. Sometimes, like Jesus said, they could be the ones responsible for putting the nails in his hand. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. There are people like that. They could crucify you. But basically, good people. So they have a good heart. And Jesus did say in his parable of the different type of seed, that the seed that fall on the good ground is more productive. So there is a stage of good. But when you come to, you may be good and yet not righteous. It's different. Righteousness, dikaios, involves obedience to the law. Obedience to the law. The law of God and the law of man that is in line with the word. Righteousness involves your actions too. Now, don't misunderstand me. Righteousness involves your heart too. But it is bigger and greater. It affects your inside and your outside. While goodness only affects your inside. So righteousness affects your inside. We know about the gift of righteousness and all the things that affect the inside, the right standing with God, the spiritual side, the soul side, the experiential side. But if you read carefully, righteousness, when you talk about righteousness, it talks about the law. Obedience to the standards of the law. Even our gift of righteousness through Jesus Christ is the imputation of Jesus' obedience to the law given to us freely. Jesus was righteous to the law. And what he did was for us, so that became our gift. His right standing became ours, right standing with God through the law. So righteousness involves the inward and the outward part of the law. And one way we can illustrate it is just like sometimes ladies use perfume. Some perfumes, you could just smell it in the air. They are there, but not quite conscious that they are there. Right? It just smells like you're passing the flower field from a distance. Right? You know that they smell nice, but you cannot quite so detect it. And some men, they use those, you know. I don't know what men use. I don't use anything. And so, some ladies, they will move even in a more specialized way. Especially, you know, if it's a special occasion. So, when they come into the room, you know them from about 10 feet away. And you're sitting next to them, they're so overpowering. I mean, the perfume, not only perfume them, it perfume the room. So, some ladies, when they perfume themselves. And the small airspace of about 1 foot around them. Some ladies, when they perfume themselves, they perfume, and sometimes it's not them, sometimes it's the perfume, more powerful. It perfumes them and it perfumes the room. 10 square feet. Or 20 square feet. So the same way, righteousness involves the perfuming of your inward part. But it flows out into your actions. It is a stronger force. But that is not moving into holiness yet. Righteousness. If you are righteous, automatically you have goodness. You see, it's step one, step two, step three. If you have step two, automatically you will have step one. If you have step three, automatically you will have step two and step one. Three include two and one. So if you have holiness, you automatically have righteousness and goodness. Because they came from that direction. Holiness comes through that direction. So holiness is extra and different. Holiness talks about the nature of God. Now Paul tells us in Corinthians, he talks about how that all things are lawful, but not all things. There are certain things lawful, but not all things are expedient. Look over very carefully the book of 1 Corinthians. And we are looking at 1 Corinthians. We look at chapter 8. First Corinthians chapter 8. And notice that Paul talks about the conscience and says in verse 10, if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? And then you go over there in chapter 10, verse 23. All things are lawful for me. Chapter 10, first Corinthians, all things are lawful for me. In other words, not talking about breaking the law, he's talking about things that are permitted for him to do. But all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but all things do not edify. You know what he's talking about here? He's talking about doing something because it is the best thing to do rather than because it's lawful. You see, some things are legal but not helpful. Take for example, disagreements that people have with one another. Let's say a family or a colleague of yours could be together and so there could be misunderstanding. And the first thing happens when you misunderstand, you go and sue each other in the court. It's legal. You have a right to do it. But isn't it better to try to settle outside? And yet some people will go all the way to the legal thing without resorting to the best. Because in the court, it's legal, it's lawful. But how nice if you could settle it outside without resorting to all these things. So Paul is talking about things that are lawful to do. That's not the first time he mentioned that. In another case, he mentioned it's in chapter 6. Verse 12, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful to me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Now what Paul is saying is holiness. You see, holiness involves going beyond the law. Holiness involves going beyond, above even the standards that the law set. See, a lot of people will be breaking the speed limit as long as no one checks them. And the only time that they will not break the speed limit is when they think that there is somebody, a policeman who is manning the road. And those are people who need the law to keep them. But then there are others who are trained and who anyway never want to go faster than that. Of course, you know, you don't go too slow, then you become a road hop. But there are those who normally drive slowly. For them, they will never even approach that speed limit, whatever your speed limit is. That's their normal driving. Do you know that there is a Christian way of driving and a non-Christian way of driving?